Epilogue, 28 years later. After 28 years, I decided it was time to go back to the Cass Corridor. It would be my first trip back after leaving in September of 1982 to open my own advertising agency in Chicago. The day I left was one of the saddest days of my life. It should have been just the opposite, because I was saying goodbye to the corporate world of advertising, which I needed an offensive lineman just to guard my back, and I was saying hello to my own company and an opportunity to be my own boss. It meant I was closing the door on a five-year journey that had tested us in every conceivable way. It meant saying goodbye to good friends and neighbors who had become almost family. It meant saying goodbye to a house that we had resurrected from ruin and turned it into a home that we filled with laughter, music, and the aroma of Italian food. No longer would the rooms hold our personal things, our resurrected treasures, our furniture, and our friends. It would never be the same again. Maggie liked the corridor, but she didn't share my blind love and the challenge of living there. She had become tired of comments of John's that she had to deal with every day. It was a constant irritant that women experience simply for walking down a sidewalk. She was weary of watching her back and carrying a gun in her purse. One trip down Chicago's Magnificent Mile, a tour of the lakefront and Chicago's Gold Coast, made it easy for her to say goodbye to the corridor and its grime and crime. So here I was, back in the corridor, wandering the streets and alleys one early Sunday morning. I tried to park my car in the Second Avenue Terrace's parking lot, but I was kept out by a heavy steel gate and an 8-foot fence that obviously was erected to keep everyone out but those who lived there. So much had changed in the 28 years since I left, yet so much remained the same. Many of the buildings had been replaced by vacant lots or nondescript Wayne State University buildings. The Reyes Brothers Party Store was now boarded up, and the Bronx Bar was in a state of restoration. Even our ice cream company sign had been replaced by the potato store sign. The punk rock bar, where Larry Murphy danced the night away with Taboo, was now a bookstore, and the attached storefronts housed a trendy coffee shop, a bakery, and a health food store. I soon discovered from the patrons of the coffee shop that this was no longer the Cass Corridor. It is now Midtown. Midtown, whatever that means. It would have to be a geographic designation because there was never anything middle ground about this neighborhood. I suspect even with the visible changes and a nice new name, it would never represent middle ground. Would New York give Harlem or Hell's Kitchen a new name? I think we know the answer. At any rate, I was now in Midtown, and I wanted to see some of my old Cass Corridor friends. I stopped and visited with Mary Lindstrom, who turned out to be the lone, sole, remaining original Second Avenue Terrace resident. She was 28 years older, but surprisingly had aged very little. Now, in her late 60s, she was still full of vitality and spirit we all once shared. I soon discovered that her idealism had been replaced with what would have to be described as political savvy. She was now a neighborhood leader in Midtown, continuing to try to make things better, including spearheading Wayne State's demolition of the pump-your-own gas station with a beautiful garden park that supplies vegetables to neighborhood residents. This was the same gas station where I had been threatened with death because I didn't share in the assailant's born-again status. Mary had restored her own house in 1979. It's a great house, and as she led me through every room and floor, I was reminded of all the work that Maggie and I had put into our own house just three doors away. Mary asked me if I wanted to see our house, but I declined, wanting to keep my memories intact. I sensed, though, a new spirit from Mary and the others I spoke to on this visit, a feeling of pride and desire to make this a great neighborhood again. Maybe not the same pioneer spirit we all shared almost 30 years earlier, but maybe a more realistic plan for the future. I bid Mary goodbye, and I promised I would not wait 28 years to see her again. I continued to wander down street after street, and soon found myself on Alexandrin, the demarcation line that had sparked the Second Avenue Hooker War. I continued down Alexandrin and viewed many of the houses that had been meticulously restored by friends of mine years before. But now they appeared rather tired and in need of another renovation. I stopped by the fire station, foolishly looking for a familiar face. Everyone there was new or a temporary, but all were quick to say that this was now a quiet neighborhood. I wondered if my old friend Morris Crispins would describe this new midtown as quiet. I then cut through some alleys and across several vacant lots and passed the semi-boarded-up Tomboy Market to Morris Crispins' building on Willis. Knocking on his massive apartment building door brought no response, as did my cries of, "Morris! Morris!" outside and below his now sealed windows. I could no longer walk around to his rather primitive but welcoming cobblestone patio and garden at the back of his building. The terrace's steel stockade fence blocked my path. I was about to call it a day and to end my visit to Midtown when I spotted that now famous white hair and Rip Van Winkle beard. It was Morris Crispins, and he was just a few doors down from his building, giving advice to a new neighborhood arrival. I quietly walked up and stood behind him and announced, "Has anyone seen Morris Crispins?" Without hesitating, he said, "He's dead." Then he turned to face me. "Do you remember Douglas Ekman?" I asked. He flashed that Morris smile and said, "He left years ago." Then I declared, "I'm back." He held out his hand, which I grabbed, and then we embraced. He had indeed survived the last 28 years, and so had his building, which he was still fighting to save both physically and financially. We walked back to his front stoop, where we sat and reminisced for some time. He asked about Maggie and what our life was like now. I then said to him that I felt this neighborhood seemed more quiet and peaceful now. "That's because there's no one here. They're all gone," he declared. He went on to say that that wasn't totally true, but did say there were fewer people because there's fewer buildings for them to live in. "It's a different place here now, Douglas. It's not the old Cass Corridor. The new people are richer and more suburban." He went on to echo what Mary Lindstrom had told me earlier, that so many of our early corridor residents, including myself, had left and gone elsewhere. Lots of good people who couldn't wait for the corridor to get better. Others who had been the source of so much crime had also moved on. "Wasn't that at least better?" I asked. "There's still crime here," Morris declared. "I was robbed at gunpoint in front of the Tomboy just a few weeks ago," Morris added. He went on to confess that it's not the same corridor, and with it went some of the flavor that attracted all of us here. I could sense that Morris was feeling surrounded, pushed, maybe even threatened. The irony is that now his fear of the so-called bad people who caused him so much physical harm was being replaced by the so-called good people, people who brought to Midtown a demand for a safer neighborhood and a different way of life, a life Morris had turned his back on more than 40 years before, when he sought a new life in the old Cass Corridor. It remains to be seen whether the more things change, the more they remain the same. I just know it felt good to be back, to see and spend time with old friends, and that included the wonderful buildings that had survived no matter what condition they were in. I was reminded why I had loved this place so much more than three decades before. You can change the name, but it will always be the Cass Corridor to me. And one more important factor remains the same. People, real people, good people, still live there.